If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time with the players and coaches who lived in them. Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl? Or what about the after parties? We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Michael.
Yes.
For this episode... Admittedly, I wanted to get you like caviar or something.
Yeah, but perfect.
I know. The problem, though, was I was like, how can I possibly expense this to like my boss, my boss's boss, and like the accounts payable team? So I got you a very expensive pastry.
Yes.
Called a key lime baby bundt.
Oh, I love key. Yes. I always get key lime pie.
Yes. So I got you an expensive looking.
Wow, that is expensive looking.
Right?
Ladies and gentlemen, let me describe this to you. It looks like the crown that the queen would wear, and then shoved in the middle are 3 fresh raspberries.
Only the best.
Thank you for this. Okay, so this is because Aston Martin is the team today.
Aston Martin's the team. There's a metaphor in this somehow that they are the key lime baby bundt of the grid. I don't know
how. This is too many things in a pastry.
But that's a good metaphor for them, actually. Yes, yeah. Too much in a pastry.
Yeah, okay, great. So, I'm going to have a bite.
Go for it. Okay. Yes, please tell me how it is.
Let me see if I can chew real close to the mic.
ASMR, yes.
There's some nice lime. Mm-hmm. Some nice sweetness. It feels good in my mouth. It's not the first time I've said that today. And it feels like they need to decide what this pastry is. It's too many things at once.
Ooh, yes.
From iHeartRadio and Sports Illustrated Studios, this is
Choosing Sides. F1.
Wow! Wow!
Today's team, Aston Martin, I feel like they are a lesson in contradictions. They're a new team, but they're also kind of historic and have a really storied name behind them. They're a team that tries to be calm on the surface and cool and collected, but then they've got a chaotic backstory. Mm-hmm. And then they've also got 2 drivers who could not be more different in terms of background and race history and just, I think, general demeanor as well.
Right.
So on top of being this lesson in contradictions, we're going to be talking about just piles and piles of money, much of it illegally obtained.
Ooh.
So we've got a lot of drama. If white-collar crime is your thing,
it is.
This is the episode for you.
Great.
We've got another episode where there's a real high point in the daddy issue Mount Olympus, right?
Sure.
Like we're reaching that peak again. It's been a little while since we've had someone with this level of dad stuff going on. So plenty to get to today.
Okay.
So first and foremost, Michael, when I say Aston Martin, mm-hmm. what comes to mind for you?
James Bond.
Of course.
I think that's it.
There we go.
I've never touched an Aston Martin. You know, I don't even know if I've ever seen one other than on
mm-hmm.
TV.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm in a similar boat. I don't think I've just certainly never driven one or come close to driving one. I don't think I'm rich enough to even like be in the presence of one. So
when I heard that Aston Martin had a team on Formula One, I assumed that they would be a championship team.
The assumption makes sense.
Yeah.
It is not correct, which
exactly.
is fun. Again, lesson in contradictions.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, it just feels like it should be a number one team. So let's learn about it.
Let's talk Aston Martin. So they are a car manufacturer founded in 1913, very much associated with British culture and obviously a luxury brand, as we discussed, obviously known for being the car of James Bond. And it's also the vehicle of choice for certain members of the British royal family.
Ah.
Apparently, I think it's like Prince Charles who like demands to be driven around in an Aston Martin.
My old Aston Martin, which I've had for 51 years, that runs on, can you believe this, surplus English white wine.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I know. So Aston Martin in F1. The year is 1959. They enter
1959?
Exactly. That's exactly how James Bond says it.
Yeah.
Yes. Nailed the accent. So they enter, they use their own engine and their own chassis, and they fail to score a single point. So things are not looking great, but they say, hey, we'll give it the old college try again, go into the 1960 season, again score 0 points.
Mm.
So at this point, they say, nope, we're done. We're not doing this again. It's kind of humiliating, and we're this luxury brand, and we're not winning, and like it's just not good for us, right? So they leave. And they proceed to not touch Formula One for over 60 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
They really had some humble pie there.
Yeah. So they said, no, thank you, JK, goodbye mm-hmm. for a very long time. Mm-hmm. So they don't show up again until the start of the 2021 season. However, part of the fun of Aston Martin isn't necessarily the Aston Martin team of today. It's the collection of people who've made up a version of this team under different names. So we're going to have to like back up before we go forward. As we've discussed with Formula One teams, they change hands a lot, right? Different people buy them, they sell them, they change the brand when they get bought or sold. They randomly change the brand, even if the same people own it. This is very common in Formula One because starting a Formula One team from scratch is just outrageously expensive,
yeah.
even more so than just buying one with all the people already attached, the factory and all of that
yeah.
stuff. So
yeah.
the year is 2007, and there are two businessmen who are interested in buying an F1 team. One of them is an Indian businessman, the main character, the protagonist of this part of the story.
Okay.
The biggest, most flamboyant example of the rich and the powerful and the high life is none other than Dr. Vijay Mallya.
Vijay Mallya or Mallya, depending on who is talking.
What kind of doctor are you?
A fake one.
Oh, so you just, what, just like an honorary degree or something?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Do I look like a doctor?
And a Dutch businessman named Michael Mol, who's less of a character. But Vijay is a massive F1 fan. He really wants to bring, he has this vision of bringing an Indian presence to the sport.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a massive personality. He's got lots of opinions. Mm-hmm. He's very flashy.
I drive a Mercedes. I have a BMW. I fool around with a Porsche and a Maserati occasionally. One makes do with whatever one can find or get.
My favorite fun fact is that he's called in India King of the Good Times because he has this uber extravagant lifestyle, has all these houses, spends all this money, even on the team is kind of known for being a little bit ostentatious.
Mm-hmm.
And their first two seasons at Force India are a little bit dicey, but the team starts scoring points in 2009. They start to rack up a few podiums.
Victory for that man, Vijay Mallya of India. and the team that he has wanted to own his whole life.
And really excitedly, by the kind of mid-2010s, you know, we're getting to 2016, 2017, they actually have 2 years where they finish P4 in the constructors.
Wow. Force India.
Force India. So everything's looking great.
People like the fact that sometimes an underdog comes through and does the business.
Yeah, I think that's what makes Formula One all the more interesting. It also shows that with a small budget, you can achieve results.
Here's what's going on behind the scenes. So, we're at 2016, 2017. Our friend Vijay here, you're probably wondering, how does he have all this money? And that's a question lots of people want the answer to. So if we're going even all the way back to 2012, he starts to get into some financial trouble back in India. People are looking into finances, realizing that some things aren't adding up. A lot of little tiny things are starting to come to the surface. In 2016, Vijay suddenly picks up from India and moves to Britain.
I have information he was carrying 11 pieces of baggage, 11 pieces of onboard baggage.
Coincidentally, that move coincides with Indian law enforcement and other agencies starting to come after him to try and arrest him for white-collar financial crimes. There were 17 Indian banks trying to collect the equivalent of $1.2 billion in loans that Vijay had taken out to gain stakes in over 36 companies worldwide.
Wow.
Have politicians allowed Vijay Mallya to get away? Have the politicians of India deliberately turned a blind eye to what has been happening for the last 4 years?
Not looking good.
Right.
And then it gets to a point, too, because he did this with, you know, around the globe, there are now dozens of agencies all over the world looking into him for money laundering and financial fraud, among many other charges.
Right now, things are flying at me fast and furious. My passport has been revoked. I don't know what the government is going to do next.
So this is all sort of, like I said, building up. And by 2018, all of this explodes.
Vijay Mallya has lost control of his Force India Formula One team. This has left him devastated.
So that's our guy Vijay. Thank you, Vijay, for the fun white-collar crime.
Rich people, they're not really that rich. They're just good at, like, moving money around.
I was gonna say, shuffling.
Until somebody calls them out on their shit.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So that's Vijay.
Okay.
So he sort of exits our story at this point. So this starts to take us to present-day leadership because, you know, there's this consortium of investors that buys the team and saves them. And the guy who's leading the charge of this group of rich people, so the richy rich of the richy riches, is a Canadian fashion and retail billionaire named Lawrence Stroll,
mm-hmm.
which already just sounds mm-hmm. like a rich person name.
Stroll doesn't sound fast either, does it?
Yeah. What's also funny is his last name is actually Strulovich, and he changed it so that it would sound less kind of like foreign. And
right.
he was his family, immigrant family. So he
right.
changed it to make it sound
okay.
a little more imposing and a little more businessy.
If you're going to change your name, change it to like won the race. Lawrence Formula One champion.
We will be referring to him for the rest of this episode as Daddy Stroll.
Okay.
And you will soon see why.
Yep.
I'm going to show you some photos of Lawrence Stroll so you can get an idea of what we're dealing with here. Hold on. Okay. Here is Lawrence Stroll.
Okay. Lawrence Stroll, three pictures, long face,
mm-hmm.
long face, white hair, white beard, big, deep chin.
It looks imposing.
Yeah. Like a caricature and, you know, drawer would have a field day with this guy's face.
Yeah.
He would need like legal paper because it needed to be so long.
Yeah.
And then in the middle picture, there's a woman who's very beautiful.
It's his wife. His
it's
current
his wife.
Wife.
Okay. She looks like she's about 18 years old.
Lawrence Stroll gives off this supervillain kind of vibe. You like want him to have like a fluffy white cat and like
sitting in
a swivel chair just like petting the cat. That's what you just picture.
This is Kate Lizotte and Nicole Sievers. They are co-creators of Two Girls, One Formula.
Honestly, like I really just appreciate the energy he's bringing to Formula One. I think he knows the part that he plays and he plays it really well. He doesn't try to be liked by anyone. He's like, I'm here to make this the best business that I can. And Formula One is a business. Everyone should keep that in mind for all decisions made about this sport.
How did Daddy Stroll make his money?
So he owns a bunch of different like fashion conglomerates in Canada.
Okay.
And kind of owns all these different fashion houses there and some retail
okay.
stuff. Yeah. And as you can tell, he's a very imposing guy.
Yeah.
He's very forceful. He makes his opinion known. He makes sure you're aware that he is the team owner who has a lot of money.
Right.
And he's been known to butt heads with quite a few members of leadership over time.
All right. So he steps in to save Force India.
Yes.
And let me guess, he's not so perfect either.
So he has a son named Lance. And Lance is like, you know what, Dad? I want to be a Formula One driver.
I want a Oompa Loompa, Daddy.
So prior to this whole Force India Racing Point conundrum, driver Lance is saying to Daddy Stroll, yeah, I want to drive an F1. You know, he did okay. We'll get more into Lance's history in a little bit. But he did okay in the junior formulas. So he's like, I want to drive an F1. And so his dad goes to a little fan favorite team called Williams and says, hey, Williams, again, this is like mid-2010s. He's like, you guys really are not doing well financially. I have some money for you, like a lot of money, like I think it's $80 million worth of money or something to that effect.
Whoa.
It wouldn't be great if I could give you that money if Lance were to show up in that seat.
That seems crazy.
Yes.
That's allowed.
So this is actually a perfect introduction to a term that you've heard me use but not really go into. It's called pay driver.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of discussion over who and what is a pay driver, but at the very least, everyone's in agreement that if, especially if like a family member or you use kind of personal connections to guarantee a lot of money to a team to get a seat, like that's a pay driver. So obviously in Formula One, you do need to still have the requisite number of super license points. Like there are, you can't just have anyone who's rich buy a seat.
Yeah.
But still, you might have some drivers who normally wouldn't be under consideration for seats because someone, you know, is guaranteeing on their personal behalf a seat on the grid. Usually there are concessions made for them and things like that. So Lance Stroll comes into Formula One very much a pay driver under the thumb of his father, Daddy Lawrence Stroll.
Is Yuki at AlphaTauri considered a pay driver?
He's not, though. There's a couple of cases like Yuki where there are some other influences that sort of help their case. But I think people especially, again, there's a lot of debate over where this title, because I have certain friends who do say like these eight drivers are pay drivers, or it's also not someone who's necessarily rich. Like you can be a rich person who still gets into F1 on your own merit and doesn't have a parent, you know, saying I'm going to give $80 million to a team to get you a seat. Everyone is in agreement, though, that Lance Stroll is a pay driver. like everyone's debating Yuki or another guy, Zhou Guan Yu, who has some connections to some Chinese government or business.
Right.
But everyone's in agreement Lance Stroll is a pay driver through and through.
Oh, it's just such a rough way to start.
Yeah.
No one gives you any respect right
exactly.
out of the gate.
Exactly. Yeah. And he does have a rough go of it. Williams is doing terribly at this point, really in the toilet, and it just keeps going downhill.
And so Lawrence said, all right, fuck it. I'm buying my own team for Lance. And so then he buys Racing Point. Lance becomes a Racing Point driver. And, you know, the rest is kind of history. But this past year, they have become, not this past year, last year.
Yeah, before this.
2021. Sorry. They're all blending together. Became Aston Martin, and so now they're this iconic green color. I love the color palette one.
Anyway, Daddy Stroll takes over the team or gets, you know, some ownership of the team after 2018, rebranded to just Racing Point. They dropped the whole Force India name for a variety of obvious reasons. And yeah, Daddy Stroll takes the helm. His son Lance is in one of the two seats. The other seat is our buddy Checo, who keeps popping up too.
Checo,
actually, the bulk of his career was spent at Force India / Racing Point.
Okay.
So he was there for like, I think, 7 or 8 seasons between all their different names. So he's seen a lot. So
has Lance made a podium or anything?
He has. Yeah, we'll get into Lance.
Oh.
It's a little more complicated.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this Racing Point iteration of the team ends on a high note. They do get P4 in the Constructors' Championship. So we're like, okay, you know.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. And here's then what Daddy Stroll continues to enter the story again and again. Daddy Stroll buys a 16.7% stake in Aston Martin around this time. He kind of uses that stake to help get the team to be the brand, you know, the name behind an F1 team, not just a sponsor. So then starting with 2021, they become Aston Martin.
Okay, so that's the history. What does the team look like now?
So Aston Martin is definitely a midfield team.
Okay.
They finished in P7 in the standings in 2021, and they have really been struggling in 2022 with the new regulations.
You haven't told me one thing about this team that's likable so far. Why are we still talking about them? Can we move on to the next team?
I will say I think you're going to like the first driver on this team we're going to talk about.
It better not be Daddy Stroll's kid.
It's Lance. No, I'm kidding. It's not Lance.
Quick break and we'll be back.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time. I'm talking Hall of Famers, MVPs, gold medalists.
I absolutely hate the Colts, bro. This game, I swear, led to the Deflategate.
Hey, guys, this ball's a little flat.
Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl?
Julian walking around, I'm pretty sure he had his shirt off for reasons I'm not sure. He was saying, gotta believe.
Oh, you gotta believe. From 18-1 with Eli.
Are you calling Bill just a cheater? Is that what you're saying right now?
He's looking for an advantage.
The 2004 ALCS with Big Pop.
The Red Sox in 2004 bounced back after 3-0 in a winner chicken dinner. Homie.
The Immaculate Reception with Terry Bradshaw.
Fired the ball. I hear the roar of the crowd. I never thought he caught the ball, but he did.
We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So we're going to actually talk about a driver who has come up quite a bit over the season so far.
Yes, you've mentioned this driver's name a lot.
Yes, we got Sebastian Vettel.
Yes.
Yeah, so we finally get to dive into Seb. Okay. He is called Seb, opted on the grid. So Seb is, in fact, an icon, a legend in Formula One. He, as we've already discussed, he's a four-time world champion, got all four of those championships in a row.
That's a lot.
He's really been a stalwart. I mean, he's been there for a decade and a half. He's only 34 now as of this recording.
Right.
So he's old and yet young for the sport of F1.
Right. Very experienced, too.
Yeah. And also comes from some more humble beginnings. He didn't come from money. His dad was actually a carpenter. Huh. And he's German driver, Sebastian Vettel. He started karting just recreationally at the age of 3, but started taking it more seriously around, you know, late elementary school, so around 8-ish. And he became part of this really primitive Red Bull junior team. He really started to quickly distinguish himself in kind of senior karting and then these junior open wheel racing categories. And finally, in 2006, he is called up to the BMW Sauber team before very quickly jumping over to Toro Rosso, now known as AlphaTauri. So what is interesting is Seb could be a little bit obnoxious, right? Very brash, very hyper-competitive, especially when he's young. He is still to this day the youngest Formula One driver to win the world title. I think he beats Max by like X number of days and months or whatnot. He was one of the youngest ever. He won his first one at 23. So you had a guy who had a lot of money and power and fame at a very young age. He's this young kid who suddenly, you know, is catapulted in this very alpha male team of Red Bull.
Yeah.
He was a guy, they had to make a rule. He used to do donuts after winning championships. Right. We'd get on top of the car and do the big, you know, like yell with the arms and the fists in the air. So definitely a showy guy, not particularly like externally humble.
Yeah.
Yeah. In his younger years. Kills the game, 4 years, four world championships. He hits a little bit of a slump the year after his fourth championship. So in 2015, he makes the move to Ferrari, and he does do well. He finishes P3 in the championship, Drivers' Championship 1 year. He gets 2 P2 finishes behind Lewis Hamilton, though it's not necessarily super close, because Mercedes, as we know, is really on a tear with their bajillion Constructors' Championships and Drivers' Championships. And we talked about this a little bit in the Ferrari episode, but they decide they want to move in a different direction. The big drama is that they basically announce at the start of the 2020 season that they are not going to keep Seb after that season, which I think everyone would agree was a real kind of PR strategy nightmare.
I love you and I want to be with you, but we're going to break up in a year.
Yeah, in like 9 more months. And we're in this, you know, this super expensive, high stakes sport where you could die at any time. But like, we're donezo. Like, so, and it's a real also like, it isn't, in fact, me. It is you.
Right.
He then ends up choosing to go to the about-to-be-renamed Aston Martin team starting in 2021.
So why keep Sebastian Vettel around? Why keep an older driver around if he's not really winning over and over again?
So one of the things that's really great about Seb, and this was even said about him when he was a younger driver, he's very good at the technical aspects of the sport.
Sure.
And it's been said that he can take the team through how he felt at every corner, every turn. He remembers when something malfunctions or how it felt or he didn't like this call or that. So he can he has like perfect recall of all of this stuff and knows how to talk about it in engineering terms. Again, not every driver can do that. And even Lance has sort of joked, not Daddy Stroll, but the son, Lance, has joked about like, suddenly our debriefs after races are like 2 hours long because Seb can literally remember. Right. And he's like, I didn't even think of half this stuff. And Seb can remember all of it and can like feel the car as he's talking about it. So that's huge for teams, right? How much feedback that is if you have a driver who can speak your language.
Right.
And how that can help just the team, you know, years after he leaves because they have all of this data from him.
I could see that being very valuable.
He also can be a very entertaining driver to watch when he's really on it or in it. I'd say, too, personality-wise, this is where Seb's kind of done a 180, or I think the public perception of Seb has done a 180. You know, like I said, he was really kind of brash. It's not fun when someone's winning all the time, as you've said about Mercedes and Red Bull and even Ferrari at times. And so Seb was always kind of, you know, he'd be a little bit of a prankster, a little bit of a jokester in interviews. But in his middle age, like in his 30s, it's definitely come across differently. So now, for instance, he is married. He does have 3 kids. And he really is like the king of the dad joke.
Love it.
He's also, interestingly, very much into compartmentalizing his personal life and his professional life. So he has, yeah, he has a wife and three kids. They have not been seen on the track in years. In fact, his son was born like 3 years ago. We still don't know his name. He's never come to a race and said married like his high school sweetheart.
That's cool.
And then on top of that, you know, he's the other driver other than Lewis who's starting to really be known for activism. So in particular, he is very into talking about environmentalism.
Cool.
And I'll show you some photos in a second. He always comes in on the to the track. Most drivers drive in, you know, in some sort of like the Ferrari drivers come in Ferraris, the Aston Martin, you know. Lance comes in an Aston Martin. Seb bikes into it. So he kind of has this, you know, a normal bike, you know.
Right.
And he'll stop and take photos with people on the way in and has his little helmet, his like dad helmet.
It.
Yeah. Very nerdy. Yeah.
Yeah.
He also, after Silverstone last year, after the race, so he's obviously exhausted, he actually went up in the stands and picked up litter. And so there's now been a movement of fans who pick up litter at races after afterwards.
Hello, everybody. Good job.
On top of that, he is very supportive of the LGBTQ community.
Great.
And actually wore like the, you know, the rainbow flag on his helmet in a Middle Eastern country to make the point.
Great. It's almost like we've watched Sebastian grow up.
Yeah.
Seb's got all the likability for this team.
Yeah, he really, his back must hurt from having to carry the likability factor.
The likability boulder for Aston Martin.
Exactly. It is difficult to be Sebastian Vettel.
This is, I love it. I love this story. I love the cocky kid who was excellent now who's picking up litter in the track. It's just a beautiful story.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is very likable.
Yeah, right?
Very likable.
I hereby announce my retirement from Formula One by the end of the 2022 season. Probably I should start with a long list of people to thank now.
Oh my God. I liked him.
You really, really liked him.
He was a cool guy, man.
I love this sport. It has been central to my life since I can remember.
I mean, he's not dead.
Being a racing driver has never been my sole identity.
So he joined Instagram to announce his retirement after never having social media in a video where it looks a little bit like a hostage crisis situation.
Mm. I'm Sebastian. Father of three children and husband to a wonderful woman.
Very close up, black and white. Mm-hmm. But he said he wants to spend more time with his family, and there are a lot of social causes that he wants to put more of his energy into.
I believe there is still a race to win. Farewell, and thanks for letting me share the track with you. I loved every bit of it.
And may we all not be judged by our first Instagram video.
But poor Seb. But people are obviously very sad, and it's kind of the end of an era with him leaving.
Yeah.
We wish him the best. But unfortunately, Michael Costa down to only 19 drivers to choose from.
This is a big loss and affects the trajectory of this podcast, but we will adapt.
We will adapt.
And we will make it be a strength of ours.
Yes. How very motivational of you.
So he's Seb's out. So then what is that? Means there's an empty seat, right?
There is. And so we get to talk about
something
called silly season in real time.
Slide whistle.
That was actually really excellent. I had no idea where you were going with this. Yohai is impressed as well.
Yeah. I'm a clown. I'm essentially a clown.
So, okay, so silly season is a phrase we hear not just in F1, but in motorsports and just in news in general. Basically, F1 silly season typically takes place during the summer, the August summer break, which sure enough, Seb announces retirement right before the last race prior to the break. And so here's what has transpired. There are multiple threads here.
Let me first interrupt.
Yes.
Unbelievably fun and entertaining that this sport has something called silly season.
Yes.
That's it.
These men in their carbon fiber death traps stop to have
silly season. It's excellent. I love it. So what do we have to expect from silly season?
We have got the greatest game of musical chairs going on. I'm going to try and take you through this.
Okay.
And for all the listeners who are big F1 fans, remember that Michael is new.
Yeah. So I'm trying to break this down simply.
So Seb announces his retirement the following day, so that is then August 1st, at 4 a.m. Eastern time in the U.S., the news breaks from Europe that our pal, the pettiest man alive whom I love, Fernando Alonso, from Alpine, is moving to Aston Martin.
One seat's filled, which leaves an open seat at Alpine.
Yes.
Right.
So Alpine has a very talented young driver in their kind of driver development program named Oscar Piastri.
Yeah.
Oscar, there's a lot of hype around him. He won Formula 3 his very first year competing in it. So that lower formula, the same in Formula 2.
Wow.
And very few drivers are able to do that. So there's a lot of questions around, is he a, you know, a generational talent? What's the deal with Oscar? He has just completely moved up these ranks so quickly. Unfortunately for him last year, there was no seat for him on the grid. So he...
We spoke about that.
Exactly, yeah.
And how he kind of got shafted a little bit.
Exactly. Okay. And it's pretty well known while he kind of goes along with all the Alpine promo stuff. He wants to be driving.
Yeah.
So, day after Fernando Alonso announces, hey, I'm moving to Aston Martin, peace out, Alpine puts out a statement saying, great news, Oscar Piastri, the guy you all wanted to see in this seat, is an Alpine. Isn't that lovely? We have solved this very simple issue.
It seems pretty simple to me.
Yeah.
But it's not called simple season, is it, Lily?
It is not, Michael. You are correct.
It's called silly season.
People notice within a couple minutes, hey, Oscar's not posting anything to his social media.
Oh, snap.
And then sure enough, he puts out the most iconic tweet of all time, where he says,
I understand that, without my agreement, Alpine F1 have put out a press release late this afternoon that I am driving for them next year. This is wrong, and I have not signed a contract with Alpine for 2023. I will not be driving for Alpine next year.
Holy shit.
Yes.
Not just, we haven't figured out the agreement, it's not officially signed, but I am not driving for them.
He brought the hammer down.
Whoa, how could this be, how can they be on such different planets?
So, that's a great question.
Thank you.
To which I say, no one really knows,
yeah.
And everyone's asking the exact same questions right now. How can this be? How did none of these contracts get vetted or figured out before all these big public announcements?
Right.
What seems to be happening currently, Oscar, when he put out those feelers, one of the teams he has been cozying up to, or at least his management has, is McLaren.
Yeah.
Again, silly season, rumors, drama, intrigue.
Yeah.
No one actually knows. So as of now, we don't know who is in the second Alpine seat for next year. We don't know what's going on with Oscar Piastri's career.
What's up for grabs at this point?
Okay.
On the grid.
Yes. Well, here's what's officially up for grabs. The seat at Alpine.
Right.
We'll talk about Alfa Romeo shortly.
Mm-hmm.
Their rookie driver, Zhou Guanyu. Yuki Tsunoda still doesn't officially have an extension. One of the seats at Williams, your favorite team.
I love Williams.
Daniel Ricciardo, who technically should have a seat, could potentially not have a seat.
I think everyone's over Daniel Ricciardo.
Ooh, a hot take.
Yeah. This is difficult for the athlete. I mean, they're really driving race by race. They don't even know what's next year. They don't even know where they'll be.
Exactly. Yeah. So they're trying to prove themselves in this back half of the season if there isn't a contract in the works. So, yeah. So we are in the height of silly season.
Meanwhile, Sebastian Vettel's just drinking a Mai Tai with his feet up going, you guys can have it. Polishing his trophies.
He does have three kids. He's probably a little bit busy on vacation.
You know what? He may come back. Give us a quick break, and we'll be back.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody?
This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time. I'm talking Hall of Famers, MVPs, gold medalists.
I absolutely hate the Colts, bro. This game, I swear, led to the Deflategate.
Hey, guys, this ball's a little flat.
Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl?
Julian walking around, I'm pretty sure he had his shirt off for reasons I'm not sure. He was saying, gotta believe.
Oh, you gotta believe.
From 18-1 with Eli.
Are you calling Bill just a cheater? Is that what you're saying right now?
He's looking for an advantage.
The 2004 ALCS with Big Pop.
The Red Sox in 2004 bounced back after the 3-0 in a winner chicken dinner, homie.
The immaculate reception with Terry Bradshaw.
Fired the ball. I hear the roar of the crowd. I never thought he caught the ball, but he did.
We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
So who's the other guy? And I know his name, but it's Daddy Stroll's son.
Yes.
Can he race? Can he drive?
He can.
Okay, so that is very important.
Yes. Again,
if he's just a dipshit that can't drive and is playing off dad's money, then I'm angry. But if he can drive, it's a different story.
Yeah, there have also been worse pay drivers in history. Okay. So Lance Stroll is who we're talking about here. He's in his early 20s. I wouldn't go so far as to say that Lance is polarizing. He's just kind of there.
Yeah.
He's not even a driver you love to hate. Like, he's just kind of there.
Yeah.
He does have some racing chops. Like, he did, you know, do well in the junior formulas. Again, it's not like he was in 10th place and then got this seat. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. he won a Formula 4 championship, a Formula 3 championship in those junior categories. And to date, he has gotten 3 podiums in Formula 1 and a pole position. So, you know, he does know how to drive. And yes, we can debate, you know, some of those races were a little funky. But again, that's mm-hmm. the sport, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's, you show up and you never know what's going
to
happen.
No one wants to root for the kid that's like dad bottom entrance into the tournament. But if he just wins, everybody will stop saying that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like he's just having enough results for us to not like go there all the way.
Yeah, and he does have like, a couple of brilliant moves here and there, even if it's on a podium. You know, so he's also has made some real blusters of error. You know, so it's like the blunders have been there.
Stroll is not looking where he's going. He completely shunted into my car.
He's hard to root for.
He's hard to root for, but he's also hard to, like, truly despise. Yeah, like, there's not... Yeah. He's not a villain, for instance, personality-wise. He's not ganging up on other drivers.
Yeah.
And some of them really have treated him with some like, disrespect over the years.
What the fuck is this dickhead doing? I got damage, boys. I need a box. I got wing damage. Cunt.
You're not necessarily sympathetic, but you're like, nah, okay, that's kind of shitty. You know, like,
I
think it's almost, I think you would agree, like, worse sometimes to not have any feeling about someone.
It's like in comedy, if the audience loves you, great. If they hate you, they at least were paying attention and were responding to you. But when they're on their phone, you're kind of like, I don't even know how you feel about me.
That's a great way to put it. Yeah, people are on their phone when Lance comes
when
around.
When Lance walks in the room. Maybe Lance needs to get out of his dad's shadow and go race for somebody else if they'd have him, because then we might actually see his personality. I don't know.
Honestly, pretty nice guy, all things considered. I think he gets a bad rep because his dad is a literal supervillain billionaire.
This is Nicole Sievers once again.
Lance Stroll early on was a little bit of a whiner, and you were like, oh, daddy's money, right? But I think he's really grown into his role at Aston Martin in F1. And so there's a lot of conversation around paid drivers now, and people often feel like paid drivers don't deserve their spot in Formula One. And, you know, I think we used to hold this same opinion. But if they can continue to do really well and prove themselves in the sport, then what does that really say about the term paid driver anymore? Again, this is a business, and it costs hundreds of millions of dollars to run a team every single year. You need money, and you need to pay people salaries.
Yeah.
And not everyone can win the championship every year. So I don't think that the paid driver terminology should be used as negatively anymore.
Yeah.
And so that's why I am becoming a Lance Stroll apologist.
The question, though, is could he get on a team?
Yeah, could he get on a team? Exactly.
Yeah, without Daddy Stroll.
Right.
And the answer is no.
No? All right.
Yohai has a strong opinion on this one.
Well, he likes Yuki, who basically got on the team because of Honda engines. So
stop slandering Yuki.
So I would say, interestingly, there are people who are kind of at least intrigued by Aston Martin. If I had to sum up, like, the pitch for Aston Martin, there's a lot of hope that, you know, you have certain midfield teams, like, let's say AlphaTauri, right? We know they're never going to be able to, like, beat Red Bull, because that would be a cataclysmic event for Red Bull. You kind of know that AlphaTauri has you know, there's a question of the ceiling for AlphaTauri, right? As a, you know, they're a midfield team, they're going to be a midfield team. I think there is hope that Aston Martin, because they do have a lot of money, and even if they're struggling right now, there is a hope that they can be a little less stagnant, right?
Yeah, why couldn't they take off?
Yeah, exactly. So if you want a team where you're like, hey, there can be a little more, little bit more of like a Russian roulette situation here, like, we don't know what's going to happen, but in a good way.
They have the brand name, you know? That's what's so helpful, because someone like me, who's so new to the sport, I just recognize the name right away, unlike Alpine or Williams, who I still don't know, or the other team, so I can't remember.
No, yeah, like, it's a memorable brand. There's a lot of experimentation going on, and I think that that's really intriguing at the very least about Aston Martin as a team.
Yeah.
There was quite a few people where they were just kind of asked, you know, aside from, like, the championship winners, everyone can make a case for a Mercedes or Red Bull, like, who else on the grid, especially, like, midfield, are you excited about? And Aston Martin was one where this point kept coming up of, you know, hey, they there's potential there. It's a question of if they're going to, you know, rise to that potential, but There's more there to be kind of unpacked or unearthed than with certain other teams that are maybe midfield or even back of the pack.
I mean, my pitch for Lance is, I bet you there's more there from a personality and a depth standpoint if he can ever get out of dad's shadow. Now, he may not even have a car if it wasn't for dad. So that's complicated.
Exactly.
But I want every man or woman to become their own person outside of their parents. So that would be me rooting for Lance, saying, hey, dude, go walk the Pacific Crest Trail away from his family and become this man that is somewhere buried deep inside him.
So you want like therapy for Lance.
I want therapy, and I want him to like throw metaphorical punches at his dad and say, like, I'm my own man, and, you know, like, but that's not going to happen.
Okay, so First of all, yeah, how are we feeling about Aston Martin entering the mix with all the other teams? Because now we have talked about, I think, 7 teams now out of the 10. So we're 2/3 of the way there.
Well, green's my favorite color. We didn't even talk about this.
You are wearing a green shirt right now.
Do you have a Aston Martin car on your computer?
Yes, I
can
do.
Can I see it?
Let me.
This is not my team. This is not my team. But I do like Sebastian Vettel very much. And I love the brand name Aston Martin a lot. Mm-hmm. And that car is awesome looking. That is sweet. It's like
sharp.
A forest green. It's like it's a beautiful, beautiful car. So, wow, that thing looks fucking fast.
Yeah.
So I like them now. They're my team. No, but this is not my team, and that's Daddy's problem. That's your fault, Dad. Daddy Stroll. But also, VJ didn't help either, did he?
I just like VJ. I don't like him, but it's just like this team. Yeah. The billionaire's playground personified between these different rich guys.
It is amazing how much diversity in personality we've had with all these teams. I'm not saying diversity in anything else.
Yeah.
But, you know, you think, okay, rich people, how many different stories can there be? There's a lot of different stories.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of different stories, and that is fun and fascinating. And at the end of the day, you start here and you finish here, and who gets there first? It's cool.
So overall here, and we'll ask Rob for his opinion too in a second.
Who gives a shit about Rob and Yohai? Can I get a curtain up on this thing so we don't have to see him?
So we're, okay, like I said, we're 2/3 of the way through. Where are we at in terms of, let's start with teams.
All right, so I'm going to say Ferrari and AlphaTauri right now are my two favorite teams.
Ooh.
Isn't that nuts?
Ooh.
And I don't like Red Bull. Ooh. Get this shit out of my face, Lily.
I was going to have to move to the weird Red Bull flavors if there was another one.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
The bull bile will not strike again.
Yeah.
Okay, and then driver-wise, I know there's more drivers to talk about.
But I like George Russell, I like Checo, and I dig Pierre, too.
Yeah.
Does that answer some questions?
That does.
Okay.
Rob, how are we feeling after Aston Martin?
Let me just turn my headphones off.
Our opinions are actually lining up.
Yes!
Ooh,
cool. On the teams, I think those are my top two teams as well.
Okay.
Oh, interesting.
Drivers, we have a tiny bit of a difference.
All good.
Who are you vibing with?
Definitely Leclerc.
Yes.
I think he's like going to be a big winner. It's so interesting to learn more. But I think Leclerc and Esteban Ocon are my favorite drivers.
I just love this entire very chaotic podium for you. Your top three, yeah.
Is there an Alfa Romeo team? I've always loved that brand.
We'll get to Alfa Romeo, but before Alfa Romeo, the team we are talking about next.
Come on!
It is Williams.
No idea what they are, who they are.
Yeah, absolutely no idea. It's been teased the entire season, but we're going to talk about Williams, which one of the most storied brands on the grid, storied team, a lot of wins, a lot of triumphs. They have fallen on hard times, and they are trying to claw their way back up the grid. But it is going to be a long, arduous process. I will say they are one of the most wholesome teams on the grid. They've had some intriguing drivers as of late.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that amongst a lot of the teams, I think Williams fans are some of the most die-hard, passionate people.
Cool.
I think it's one thing to cheer for a Red Bull or a Mercedes, but imagine cheering for a team that didn't score points for several years after being a team that used to win championships.
Those are real fans.
Yeah. So Williams is our next episode.
Awesome. Thank you, Lily.
Thank you.
This has been Choosing Sides, F1, a production of Sports Illustrated Studios and iHeartRadio. The show is hosted by Michael Costa and Lily Herman. This episode was produced by Lily Herman and our senior producer, Yochai Maital, who also did the sound design. At the Cutting Room Studios, we are recorded by engineer Rob O'Leary II. Mastering by Cella Weisblum. Max Miller is the executive producer, and Brandon Getchess is head of audio at SI Studios. At iHeartRadio, Sean Titone is our executive producer. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to subscribe to us and leave a review. And if you want more F1 goodness, follow us on Instagram at ChoosingSidesF1.
The hit movie Bob Marley One Love is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Celebrate the life of an icon who inspired generations with his message of love, peace, and unity. Rated PG-13. Head to ParamountPlus.com/OneLove to try it free now.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time with the players and coaches who lived in them. Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl? Or what about the after parties? We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.